is National Council of Jewish Women. Interviewers are Florence Joseph and Howard Braun. Interviewing Gisela Yeesus. This is April 12th, 1991. Gisela?
Yes.
We would like to know a little bit about your family, background, and anything about your background.
Well, I was born in Austria, and then he left for England, and I went to London. And I made there my living. As a dressmaker. I came from a family of 3 children. My sister, my brother, and I was the youngest. My father was in the Österreich-Ungarische Monarchie, a soldier. And he died, and my mother was left with 3 children.
How old were you when he died?
How old when he died?
Were you when he died?
About 42. Mm-hmm. And
you were 42 when he died?
Father was 42. How did your mother earn her living? How did she take care of you?
Well, my mother got a pension. And my brother studied law, and he became an attorney in Vienna. When Hitler came, they took him to the concentration camp, Dachau. I left Vienna to try to find, to get the rest of the family out. But my cousin, or my relatives here in the state, gave us an affidavit with the whole family. And as I used...
What do you mean by the affidavit?
For the whole family to come.
I see.
To the States. Mm-hmm. But as I've used my name, the government told me they can't get my family on the same affidavit out. I have to get some new ones for each and every one.
What did you do?
The relatives here refused to give me another affidavit. They were under the old age impression. One of the family comes out and the rest follows. I have to do it myself. Of course, I couldn't do it myself. I tried everywhere. I went everywhere. Nobody wanted to give me a new affidavit. And my relatives, they didn't have anybody to support, and they still didn't want it.
Well, how many did they get out of your family?
Well, my brother went to the concentration camp, and my sister tried to get them out. Hero had written in the meantime to his friends that they should help me, that they should help him and get him out by giving him a job in the States. No, first in England. My brother was married, had a wife and babies. They were just born. So my sister got him finally out, and he and his wife came here.
Was your sister already in the States?
What? No, not States, it's England.
Oh.
He got a job in a country because he was engineer and foreign patent attorney.
Mm-hmm. Now the brother got a job in England.
He was, and he studied and he became a foreign patent attorney, he passed the bar in London as a foreign patent attorney. When I have left the country, my mother insisted I go to the States. I shouldn't be by myself in England. And she has family in the States, and I should be with them. So when after the war, I was a fire warden in London, and I have been decorated. As little I am, I have been decorated as a fire warden.
How did your brother get out of Dhaka?
My sister got him out.
No.
She was standing there for 2 days. You know, in the beginning, still was some old. Yes, it's there.
Very nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you arrive in the United States?
In the end of 1950.
And
I made a living in England, and I made a living here.
Who helped you get to the United States?
Well, I had that one affidavit. And then I still had my ticket. So nobody had to pay even my ticket to the States from England.
I see. When you came to the United States, what were you?
I came to the States here. My cousin lived in McKeesport. When I saw McKeesport, I couldn't live there. coming from Vienna and London and going to McKeesport. I said, isn't that a bigger city where I can go? He said, Pittsburgh, but they didn't know even themselves what Pittsburgh was. So I went to Pittsburgh. One of my cousins drove me in. I didn't know anything about Pittsburgh. I look on a newspaper, I didn't know Squirrel Hill, anything. And I landed here in Squirrel Hill, and here I stayed. I moved a few times. And I got a job, and I started working.
Whom did you work for?
That doesn't exist. Well, I worked in different places, really. I worked in a short time in Kaufman's, a short time in Linton's. They wanted me to take over the alteration department, and I didn't want to. And then I worked in a bridal shop downtown. It doesn't exist anymore.
When did you set up your own business?
Yeah, my own business I started in 1960. It's really, I was 27 years. I had my shop across the Shavatura. It was an open shop, 27 years.
Where was
and
it?
Then my landlady died. And the man next door insisted that he takes my place over, and I had to leave that place. It was a dirty trick he did me. And I had to look for another place. And I ended up with the 1824 Marie Avenue. That is the Louis Building, L-O-U-I-S. But only the rent killed me. It was $660 a month.
So is that where you stayed until you retired?
Pardon?
Murray Avenue, the Lewis Building. Is that where you stayed until you stopped working?
Yeah. I stayed there 5 years, 27 in the lower avenue, and then 5 years here. It's next door to Eaton Park.
Let's get back a little bit to your early years. We'd like to know a little bit about how you grew up with your family. Was there a synagogue? Were you involved with a synagogue? Was your brother's bar mitzvah?
Well, in Vienna it's different. It's not like the state. It's Europe. And in Vienna, the Jewish people get registered. We have an Israelitische Kultusgemeinde.
You mean this was before the war? You
had to register? Before the war, yeah.
You had to register?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every child, when it's born and the weddings, everything is registered there. Mm-hmm. The life wasn't too good in Vienna.
What do you mean by that?
Vienna is anti-Semitic.
I see. Did you?
You know, they always were and are Jewish haters. Have to know that from Vienna. When I went to elementary school, there used to be like A and B classes. In the A class were all the Catholic. In the B were the mixed.
By mixed, what do you mean, all the rest of the religion?
Jewish and Catholic. But the one was really...
The B class had a mixture of Jews and who were...
Other, you know, there couldn't be so many classes.
Yes.
So there were two classes for the one class. But it didn't hurt anything, you know. And after, then I went to the Handelsakademie for Mädchen. That means
girls,
it's a college
for girls.
A college
for girls.
For girls.
Mm-hmm. To Handels?
4 years. And when the situation in England, in Deutschland, started being bad, I started to take English lesson because I wanted to go to England. And I had I took private lesson from an English woman.
What did you study when you were in this girls' school? Was it a general education?
General, yeah. Algebra, everything, you know. It was a good education. The schooling was very good.
If your mother was a widow,
yeah,
she could afford private lessons for you and law school for her son, for your brother.
Well, he went first to the university in Vienna, and then he started working in a law office.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was finished.
He helped your mother?
Yeah.
I'm still surprised at the, you understand the economic question. Your mother was a widow.
Yeah.
And you went to school and he went to law school.
Yeah.
Who paid for that?
Well,
she could afford it.
He got, what you call, expect scholarship.
That's right. So apparently it wasn't so anti-Semitic. Jews did get...
Oh, no, not so very, but it's...
Okay, that's what I was reaching for.
Yeah, no,
he got...
Living was nice in Vienna. Living was nice in Vienna.
Did he study for his law degree in Vienna then?
He started, yeah, he took in engineer
Vienna.
Too.
Yeah, he became a lawyer and engineer in Vienna.
And you know that this foreign patent attorney, which was to that time, when I inquired about 34 in the whole United States, to that time, now I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now people are more educated. Don't forget, America was behind in everything. You know, they didn't care so much about education. They cared. They took care to make money, make a living. Because I had so many cousins when I came here, and none of them had a high education. Because soon they went of age, they went in the father's business and they start making money. The other generation, they started to study, but not the our generation.
Too busy making a living.
Mm-hmm. And they only made a living, they made a very good living.
Did you attend a synagogue
when
you were in Vienna? Did you attend a synagogue?
Was
your family religious?
Yeah. Not too much.
Was your brother bar mitzvah?
No. You know, there they didn't make a fuss about the bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a religious thing, not a party.
Yes.
They didn't party. The boy became a man, but...
Did your brother at the synagogue go to the bima?
Yeah.
And he did say the blessing.
Yeah.
He did, but no party. Yeah.
No party.
I understand. You see, he was bar mitzvah.
But,
That was right. She's contradicting, it's not clear.
But he just had a religious bar mitzvah, but no party.
But no parties. There were no parties.
Mm-hmm. He was bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him, how he laid the twill.
He laid the twill. Okay. Then he was from it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about your school days? And your teachers, friends?
About the school days, I don't... Just ordinary.
But you were telling us it's extraordinary because you had a better education than many of the people here.
Well, in Europe, you got an education.
Mm-hmm. When you came to the United States, what do you think was the real difference between your living, say, in Pittsburgh and living in England or Vienna?
Well, I found only out one thing, that you have to make money. You know, I got a job and I started working in the evening at home. In Europe, you don't do that. You have one job and that's it. You don't look for more money. Here you try to earn another buck. But in Europe, like everybody works, say, 5 days a week, and the weekend, you do something with the weekend. You go swimming, or you go hiking, and you don't stay home and work to make another few bucks. You are satisfied what you have. When you make a nice living, you are satisfied. And never stayed weekend at home. We used to go mountain climbing. We used to enjoy ourselves. And we used to go on vacation.
Where did you go mountain climbing?
Around Vienna. I was the youngest in Vienna.
You were the youngest?
So when it came like here, when I was very little and skinny, and being that my mother was a widow, the Kultusgemeinde, you know, where you were registered, they found Israelitische Kultusgemeinde. I was very weak and little. And my mother registered me there. And they have, like here, camps. And they used to send the children to camp. So I remember like today, we went to register, and they were sending the, it was only Jewish, they were sending the Jewish children to different countries, like Switzerland, Holland, and they sent me to Holland. That was when I was in the elementary school. So to that time there were trains, you know, there weren't any planes or what. I went on a train with another, 50 children. Mm-hmm. And on the border, you called it on the Grenze in Vienna, a lady came up with the whole list of the children, and she let on every other, you know, Holland is small, and every other little, I don't know what you call, state. She let off a few children, there was somebody at the train, and they took the children to a camp, to different camps. When it became less and less children in the train or in the compartment, I said to that lady, "Where am I going? I see everybody is gone. Where am I going?" She said, "You are so cute, I'm taking you home to my house." And that turned out that her husband was the chief rabbi from North Brabant and Limburg. Of course, I wasn't used to big living, you know. I came to that was in Zertogenbosch, or then Bosch, you know what they called them. And she had herself 4 girls. And she had a governess and for the children, the maid of course, and they were very religious.